This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Series finale, Birch trying to avoid the sweep. Joining us now to talk about the Orioles, not just at the major league level, which has been bad, but down on the farm for the first time this season. With OrielsHangout.com, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Longtime friend, Tony and I go back 25 years or so. It's Tony Pentee. Tony, what's happening, buddy? How you feel? Where the hell you been, first of all?
Hey, I was waiting on the invites, you know, for this year. No, just been staying busy watching the minor leagues and trying not to get too depressed about the major league team.
All right. Since we're there, you brought them up. Look, a lot of Fire Hyde, a lot of Cundiff Elias. Where are you standing on this team? 9 games under 500, 7 games out of first, second week of May.
Yeah, and I wish it was just, you know, it's a slow start, right? I wish we could just say, you know, it was a – but when you really look at it, you go back to about – June 20th of last year, and they're playing well under 450 baseball. This is well over 120 games now that they have not played well. And at some point you have to say, is this who they are? I mean, they didn't hit well over the second half of last season. They're not hitting well this season. And they have a worse starting rotation than they had last year. So it's tough to get too excited. I think they need some major changes. They just seem like they're sleepwalking right now. And, I think we're all in the same boat that we really like them to start playing up to some of their capabilities.
All right, let's talk about, and Steve Molesky made a good point a couple of days ago, that first wave of these top dudes, Adley, Gunner, Westberg, you know, Grayson, helped them get to the playoffs 2 years in a row. This next wave, the Holidays, Kowser was second in Rookie of the Year, certainly Mayo and others, you know, maybe it hasn't been as smooth as we anticipated. But we look at the struggles here of, say, a Kobe Mayo, for instance, or a Heston Kerstad, and you saw them both in their developmental stages. Why the struggles? And Mayo in particular, it's like, dude, have you ever swung a bat before at times? Why has he looked so overmatched? And what's the hope for the future that we'll start to see some of that power that he showed off many times at Triple-A and below?
Yeah, obviously each guy is different, you know. I do have some concerns that, you know, the swing decisions that they are taught in the minor leagues work in the minor leagues well because the guys make more mistakes. So you can kind of wait around for that pitch that you can do damage on. In the major leagues, you may only get one of them. And you may not get any of them, and you have to learn how to be able to hit balls that you may not be able to do a lot of damage on, but you can knock for a single. You can, have a good at bat with. And I think we're seeing guys that, are not getting close calls that they might have gotten the minors, especially in AAA now because they have the auto strike zone. So, you know, you see Mayo getting behind a lot in counts. And honestly, when it comes to Mayo, I think it's just in his head at this point. I mean, this is a guy that was hitting well down in AAA again. He was starting to hit the ball to the opposite field. He was starting to cover the outer part of the plate, all things that you wanted him to see to do. And as soon as he gets to the major league level again, not only does it kind of spiral for him offensively, but, you know, clearly, you know, he's had some struggles defensively as well. I mean, you can't be 20-plus games in your major league career and have more errors than hits, and that's exactly where Mayo is right now.
Sammy Basayo, we keep talking about him, and rightfully so, the number two prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. By the way, Mayo was 12th, and we just kind of lambasted Adley for the last two segments here as he's regressed as an offensive performer for sure, and he was never Johnny Bench to begin with defensively, but we know Basayo's bat plays, but where does he defensively? Could he come up whenever that is, maybe it'll be later this season, and be an asset to you behind the plate?
I think he can be. I mean, right now he's not playing catcher right now due to some. I believe it's a elbow issue. But he's played mostly first base and DH so far down AAA. So really, it's just been about the stick. But what we've seen from him in the past, he's got a well above average arm. He's a big guy. You know, he's listed as 6'4". I think some believe he's probably closer to 6'5". You know, he's a solid 240, 250. You know, there's a size issue there when it comes to catching. You worry about all that up and down. Is that going to weigh on the knees? Is because the bat should be special. And we are talking about right now. I mean, he's in AAA. He's the youngest guy in AAA right now still. And we're talking about him entering his second season there. So, you know, he's the bat is going to play. I know we said that about Mayo, and it certainly hasn't. But in this case, he's way above where he should be age-wise. He's starting to hit the ball hard down in AAA now. You're starting to see him make some really hard contact. I think you're going to start seeing that bat take off and hopefully get healthy enough to get behind that dish again.
Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Orioles have, what, the 19th, 20th pick, I believe it is, in the draft here at the All-Star break. And, you know, they've drafted a ton of outfielders. Honeycutt last year. Beavers is raking a couple years back. They drafted him. He's raking down at Norfolk. Bradfield was a first-round pick. When does Elias start maybe concentrating on some arms? Or does that go against whatever his philosophies may be in regards to that?
Yeah, it's pretty clear that that's just not a philosophy that they're comfortable with. You know, you're talking about Baumeister was the only pitcher he selected in the first two rounds. He was traded over for Eflin. They just prefer to find some arms later in the draft, and I think that's why we haven't seen a lot of arms come up that have been impact arms. You know, when you look at the guys that have been able to come up through the system, they were guys that were acquired in trade. When you look at Bradish, you look at McDermott, you look at Povich, you know, Cano, these are guys that came over in trades out of other people's systems that have contributed in one way or in the other. But I understand why they have concerns over their arms, you know, the old thing, and they all break. They're able to find a couple of gems the last couple of drafts. And Michael Ferret, who I have as the number four prospect, although unfortunately we talk about the all break, he's on the IL right now with back injuries. But when you look at the rest of the system, you don't find a lot of impact arms that are in there. And even in the, you know, now that he's not drafting in that top five position, you're not necessarily seeing a lot of impact guys that are coming up. You know, Bradfield, I think, is going to be a very good player. Again, very fragile, has been injured a lot. And then you have the guy he took last year, Honeycutt, who has, I think, one professional home run in his first 168 PAs and has struck out about 40% of the time. So not exactly screaming up the charts for that as well.
Hey, Tony, it seems like pitchers, especially this year, there's a ton of arm injuries in Major League Baseball. I would imagine, is it the same in the minors and stuff? And because it just seems like there's a ton of pitchers always getting hurt now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it literally goes back to, you know, everybody is full bore. Everybody's trying to throw 95, 97 miles an hour. You don't see guys anymore that are just sitting, you know, 91, 93. If they are, they aren't considered prospects. You know, just everybody's full tilt. Everybody's trying to get all that movement on pitches, and it's putting a lot of stress on those arms. And you're seeing guys break left and right because of that. In the minor league system, you know, we see the same things. Whether it's just arm, you see a ton of Tommy John surgeries. You see a lot of guys that are just out with back injuries and lat injuries, and it's just the way it is right now. And I think part of the reason, I think that's why you see Elias not want to put a lot of his draft capital into the pitchers, but at some point you got to take some risk. You got to be able to take on these guys and hope you get one that can stay healthy, because it's getting real tough to find that pitching out there, especially when you're counting on having to get it out of trades or get it out of the free agency. And obviously this offseason has not been kind to Mike Elias so far.
Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com. What's happening on the website here on this Total Request Thursday?
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Orioles and the majors and minor leagues every day about everything that's going on. We have a prospect power rankings that you can find in a minor league forum that tracks each of the prospects as they move up down the system. You can see who you should be following and have conversations about them.
Tony, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Tony Pente. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We didn't bring up that the Orioles acquired Luis Castillo last night. Luis F. Castillo, which will turn into Luis Epping Castillo because it's not the one that we thought they were going
to. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the Whip. Got your Orioles lineup. 110 matchup against the Minnesota Twins. Trying to break this four-game losing streak, which it is, against Bailey Ober and the Twin City team. Gunnar Henderson leading off your shortstop. Jackson Holliday's at second base, batting second. Ryan O'Hearn, who does have success against Bailey Ober, 4-for-10. He's in right field, batting third. Mounting's at first base, cleaning up. Okay. Laureano, got a little pop. Center field, batting fifth. Kerstad's in left field, batting sixth. Kobe Mayo, we just talked about him with Tony Pente. Looks a little overmatched. He's your DH, batting seventh. Emmanuel Rivera is at third base, batting eighth. And Maverick Handley, handling the catching duties. He's behind the dish, batting ninth. No Adley, no Mullins today for the Orioles. So, Nolan, I'm assuming when we get to the funhouse in a couple segments, going to be a lot of people bitching about the lineup that can't win a game from Brandon Hyde.
Probably. I mean, I could pull some from 2 days ago that are still evergreen.
For Minnesota, Buxton is center field. Larnick, Adley's teammate in Oregon State. DH, Lee's at second. Francis at first base. Correa, shortstop. Castro, right field. Lewis at third. Bader hit the home run last night. Left field. Vasquez, former pain in the ass from the Red Sox. He's behind the plate. Kramer for the Orioles, 3-4, 573. And Bailey Ober, 4-1, 372 for Minnesota. Twins have won five in a row there at Target Field. Have you been there? I've never been to Minneapolis before.
Oh, you haven't?
Mm-mm.
I have not been to the new football stadium. I've been to Target.
Target Field?
Yeah. Did you go to the old? Oh, you've never been?
No.
Yeah.
The Baggy Dome? Nope.
No.
Definitely
yeah,
not
before,
the Met. Not the Met. No. Hell no.
The Met was kind of like Baltimore is right now, Bob, because the football was right next to baseball, and then the hockey was right there, you know, like down the street a little bit.
Yeah, the Mets were the Twins and Vikings used to play.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Then the Baggy Dome came in, and that was interesting.
Vikings and the Twins again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But anyway, that's what's happening right now. Orioles 110. We'll keep you up to date on the score in the final hour of this program. Whip last night. Let's go to the NBA playoffs. And Nolan brought this up. Fire. Hey, Bob. Buy or sell, there'll be another 20-point thing in the play. Ah, come on. I'm incredulous. Well, Boston was up by 20 in the third quarter last night against the Knicks. But in the end, they choked again.
It's Tatum. Robinson's on him. Tatum maneuvering. Oh, the ball knocked away. Another great defensive play for the Knicks. They've got it. They've won it.
Kevin Harlan on the call, TNT. 91-90 was the final score. And by the way, how do you not like Kevin Harlan calling a game? Oh, same with Gus Johnson. I mean, they make like tiddlywinks sound like the most exciting thing to ever happen. But Boston up 20. They missed 14 straight shots. What are they, 25 of 70 or
no,
something?
No, 25 of 100.
25 of 100 shooting threes. They missed 30 threes last night after missing 45. Yeah. Yeah, basketball sucked in the 80s. Nobody was missing 45 shots. You know, you miss 14 in a row, just design a play to score. Jason Tatum, go to the rack, get fouled. So, but the Knicks now up 2 games to none. Jalen Brunson, you know, he hit the 2 free throws, put him ahead. Cat, monster game, 21 points, 17 rebounds. Now the Celtics go to Madison Square Garden. Well, Screamin' A. Smith and Spike Lee will be in all of their glory.
Oh, my gosh.
All of your New York celebrities will be there.
Yes, all the celebs will be in the house.
Boston up against it last night. Thunder got revenge from choking away game one. They let Denver know what time it was, 149-106. What's that, their second 40-point win in the playoffs? SGA had 34 points, 4 boards, 8 rebounds, or 8 assists, rather. Jalen Williams, 17. Your boy Chet Holmgren, Minnesota native,
at
15 and 11. And Aaron Wiggins, former Terpy, had 10 points, 5 rebounds. Russell Westbrook led the way for Denver. They get clobbered. Series tied at a game apiece. Denver still in a position of strength because if they hold serve, you know, they're up 3 games to 1 going back to OKC. Something tells me they will not, however. This could be an interesting one moving forward. Stanley Cup playoffs last night. It was Toronto 4-3 over the Panthers. All of a sudden, Vinny, the Florida Panthers, who you thought were really scary, they're down 0-2 right now.
Yeah, and I think the problem with Toronto always was, Bob, they would lose to the more physical teams. Brian Berube comes in as coach, and now they are more physical team. You know, I mean, like the stars of the game were Pacioretty and Domi. Third and fourth line dudes. You know, that Pacioretty wasn't even going to play in the series. He was scratched last, you know, but now he's back, and he had a goal and an assist. Toronto is the only team, I think, in the series, in any of the series thus far, Bob, that has won at home. I think everybody else, you know, the road team has been winning. And now Toronto, just like you were saying in basketball, they go down to Florida and they get one. They go home up 3-1.
Yeah, and could get to the conference finals for the first time in how many years?
Well, a lot of years.
Yeah. Dallas, they beat the Winnipeg Jets 3-2, game one of that Western Conference series.
In Winnipeg. And Mikko Rantanen had a natural hat trick, which is you score 3 straight goals. He scored 3 goals in the second period. And, I mean, when you're hot, Bob. I mean, he shoots one, it goes off defenseman, you know, and goes in the net, you know, and that's just the way it was. I mean, it was an exciting game, 3-2, you know, back and forth type thing. And But the Dallas goalie, Ottinger, he played very well, you know, and the Dallas, they got what they wanted when they went to Winnipeg. They won the first one, you know, then they play one more in Winnipeg, then they go home where they're really tough.
Edmonton at Vegas, Oilers up 1-0 here.
Yeah, Edmonton is playing really well. What, they've had 5 straight comeback wins, you know, so Vegas is, it's in Vegas. They got to win, you know, and Pietrangelo, their top defenseman, didn't play last game. He was sick for Vegas. He's back. This and the, like, Vegas and the Caps, they're in the same situation.
Yeah, Caps tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop. They're down 0-1 to Carolina. I mean, as you talked about yesterday, listless performance in game one. So no excuse to not be fired up and ready to defend that home.
I mean, if you read any articles that Carberry, the coach of the Caps, totally disappointed in every phase. You know, 14 shots in 3 periods and an overtime. So, yeah, they've got to come out flying. They got to come out physical. They've got to take the game to Carolina tonight. And because if they go down 0-2, going to Carolina, which is a really tough place to play, fans down there, they're nuts. You know, they got that wheel, that siren or whatever, celebrity cranks it. So, yeah, this is a absolute must win for the Caps in Vegas tonight.
It's been 8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fan Whip around here on this Total Request Thursday. Real quick, May 8th. This day in Orioles history, 97, Oriole Park, Camden Yards, Birds clobber the Mariners, 13-3. Chris Hoyle's 2 home runs, 6 ribbies. As the Orioles wore out Randy Johnson that night, Brady Anderson also went deep. And our next guest had 2 ribbies on this night. Messina beat Randy Johnson, as he would twice in the playoffs. Later that year, 13-3, Orioles over Seattle. And then a year ago today, Nolan, the Golden Days. Orioles winning 12 over the Nats. Tony Taters, Gunnar Henderson, Ryan Mountcastle all hit home runs. Albert Suarez got the win. Jacob Webb got the save. Orioles win 7-6 with the win, improved to 24-12 on the year. This year's Orioles team sits at 13-22. And that aforementioned Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joins us next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup Podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Let's welcome in, as we do every Thursday, Mike Bordick. Bordy, what's up?
Bob, how's it go, man? Hey, any dunks on that basketball hoop?
Well, 5 years ago, I could have dunked on an 8-foot rim. Now I got to get a stepladder just to put the net on an 8-foot. So we'll talk about that next week. But a week ago at this time, we were talking about the Orioles taking 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. And we were feeling pretty good. Like, all right, it's cool. And then they win the opener against Kansas City. And they haven't won a game since, and they can't score, et cetera, et cetera. And Morton gave it the old college try. So, Mike, now we're in the throes of a 4-game losing streak. They're 9 games under 500, and we know there's a ton of injuries. But, look, you played this game for a long time at a high level. Assess our birds. I mean, is there light at the end of the tunnel, or is that the oncoming train that's just going to splatter them here into oblivion?
I hope there's a light. And in my mind, I still see a light. You know, guys are going to get healthier. That's definitely going to help, you know, this team play a little bit better. They're just not playing good baseball, you know, and that's, I guess, the most frustrating part. And just can't put it together. I mean, for us to sit back and say, well, that was one of Charlie Morton's better outings. I mean, let's go, man. It's just really hard, right? Every night, falling behind early. If there is an opportunity with a guy on base, we're just not coming through with a big hit. A lot of things going wrong, you know, for this team. So by the saving grace of the long Major League Baseball season, things can definitely turn around. But, you know, it's going to – I don't know if it's going to happen overnight, put it that way. It's going to be a slow turnaround, and we're going to have to take what we can get and hope for just – better baseball, and that these guys can build on that.
Mike, today Adley Rutschman's in our crosshairs, and we were looking at his numbers first half of last year when he was the starting catcher for the All-Star team, and rightfully so. He's been below average offensively and defensively since then. 8 extra base hits on the season. 2 of those came on opening day. When you watch it, and he's .150 against lefties, and he wasn't all that great last year either. When you watch Adley at the plate, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, it's tough to say, really. I mean, he came into spring training looking good, looking healthy, strong. He had a good spring. Everybody's talking about him. And just, you know, once again, finding those struggles. Looks like he's collapsing the backside. It almost looks clueless, right, against left-handed pitching, which is sad to say because, you know, that's why I think he was 1-1, because he's a great switch hitting catcher, and it's just not working out. Now, we saw Cedric Mullins a few years ago just bang that left-handed swing because, or that right-handed swing, because it just wasn't working for him. And now he's pretty solid against both lefties and righties. I don't know if they're going to eventually look at Adley to do that, but, you know, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but can you start the music, Bob?
Yes.
Anyway, last night something was very telling to me after Charlie Morton got done pitching. And I think this holds true both offensively and pitching-wise in this modern day of baseball. Charlie Morton stood there in front of everybody and said, "My spin rate's better than it's ever been. My fastball velocity's better than it's ever been. And for some reason, it's just not working for me." Well, that therein lies the problem. If we're thinking about our spin rates and our velocities, which I think carries over to offensive performance too, because last year, Adley started getting a bad rap because his bat speed wasn't up enough. So they're chasing these numbers, and they're not chasing competition, putting the barrel on the ball and throwing strikes. I mean, what are we doing? Charlie Morton can't throw a strike, and his misses are worse than any pitcher in the game. If I'm a hitter, I am just looking up and out over because it's going to come eventually if he doesn't hit me or walk me first.
Hey, Morty, yeah. Speaking on that, I'll join right in along with you. You know, like, Seattle got rid of all the analytic BS and they got a hitting coach. You know, they couldn't hit last year and they got a hitting coach that's not all about analytics, and now they can hit the crap out of the ball. You know, Texas fired their OC.
Yeah, their offensive coordinator.
Yeah, their offensive coordinator, because he wasn't hitting enough deep pass. No.
They're right. They ran it too much.
No, but it seems to me, Bordy, like, and Boone, you know, Boone's back in Texas. Holiday had issues. His dad helped him out. You know, is it time, Bordy, to get some people, you know, in the organization that are not so analytical? Like, Bordy, say that you were teaching, you know, like old school, you know, batting, like you were just talking about.
Yeah, yeah, right. Barrel to ball. I mean, pretty important. And I don't know. I think it helps if there are experienced, you know, players / coaches in there to give that kind of, you know, feedback. And I'm not dogging, you know, analytics wholeheartedly.
Right.
But what I am dogging is you can't rely on spin rates and velocities if you can't get guys out. And you can't rely on bat speed and exit velocity if you can't put the barrel on the ball. Listen, I went into the golf store the other day and I swung and my golf speed, swing speed, was higher than it's ever been in my life. I had the fastest club head speed that I've ever had. It was unbelievable. I didn't hit the ball once. I mean, let's go. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. I mean, come on.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. He's going off on a rant here, a little Dennis Miller style, which is awesome. We got the reference for sure. All right, Kramer, he's got to do what today? Because Ober's probably going to be pushing 10 Ks, I'm assuming, against this Orioles lineup.
Yeah, well, he's got a bow's neck. I mean, at some point, somebody's got to step up and stop the bleeding. Why can't it be Kramer? You know, he, like a lot of these guys, has shown some positive things. It's just a matter of staying consistent and trying to get in the middle part of this ball game. And boy, wouldn't it be nice if the Orioles could make a mark in the first inning and take our chances that way. I think it will help everybody relax a little bit. So, yeah, but Kramer's got to be aggressive. Listen, we have gotten a lot of teams hot this year. You know, teams that aren't good offensively have all of a sudden become pretty good again. And we have to kind of control that. And Kramer's just got to execute pitches. That's what it comes down to. Execute your pitches.
So you're saying that Joe Adell's going to have a monster series for the Angels coming up this weekend. He's Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. Good luck with that club head of yours, and I'll see you at Pickles next week.
All Right. Thanks, guys.
Here's Mike Bordick. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Got news from the Nest coming up top of the hour as we shift to the Ravens. Malachi Starks was on ESPN yesterday. SportsCenter talked about joining the Ravens, I guess, the first week, if you will, of his NFL career at the rookie camp. What did he have to say? We got Buy or Sell coming up 12:15. Talk Ravens and Orioles with A.J. Gersh at 12:30. Fox 45. NFL launch at 1 o'clock. And Eric Edholm, NFL.com, coming up at 1:30. American League East report at 1:15. Tell you what happened in the division. Yankees kind of separating because everyone else just kind of sucks right now. Coming up in a couple of minutes, Buy or Sell. Where's the late week money? Hopefully we're counting that. A.J. Gersh, Fox 45. Talk Ravens, Orioles with him. NFL launch at 1 o'clock. Eric Edholm will be joining us at 1:30 from NFL.com. American League East report at 1:15. Give you the Oriole and Twins lineup again because, game starts, what, a little more than an hour?
105, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 1:10 out there at Target Field. Oh, what are we doing? You want to go to a fun house? You want to vent? You want to take a call? What do you want to do here? Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's happening?
How you doing, Bob, Vinny?
Hey, good. Mitch.
Thanks. I hope everything's well here. I want to say, do you think of Jackson up in the lineup? I like his production this year. The whole lineup is pretty off. Maybe that would help with re-signing our big guys. And Morton, I saw that 24-2 Shellac in a couple of Sundays ago. That was the best game I ever saw. We should be having his retirement ceremony soon or trade him. I don't know what he's doing on his team.
Yeah, I'm guessing, hey, thanks, Mitch. A month from now, he won't be on the team. You're going to have to eat that 15 mil. And Bordy was running hot about the stupid spin rate.
Oh, yeah.
You think Catfish Hunter ever knew what his spin rate was? I'm assuming Nolan Ryan's was probably 1,000 bazillion.
Yeah.
When he threw a baseball at 105 miles an hour.
Palmer probably laughs about all that
stuff,
too.
It's so stupid. I mean, I get it. Can you throw it over the plate? Can you paint a corner? Can you change eye levels? Can you get people to chase? All that good stuff. Oh, by the way, Mitch, Holiday is batting second today. So he did get jacked up a little bit in today's lineup. Let's go to Cliff in White Marsh. Cliff, what's up?
Yeah, that was a great hearing that segment with Bordick. You know, Bordick's awesome. He spoke at our old Maryland Old Timers banquet a few years ago. He's just an awesome guy. But you know what? These players, when you're playing at this level, you have so much to think about. And now you're going to, like he said, you're throwing in all these analytics. Everybody's got a good plan until you get two strikes on them or you get punched in the nose in a fight. I mean, it's just crazy to me that every team in every sport has more or less bought into this. And, you know, it just has to be a place. Now,
look at the NBA. I mean, seriously, look at the NBA where it's like mid-range game. What's that? What's a mid-range game? Well, watch Jalen Brunson play. He'll show you what a mid-range game is.
Yeah. But anyway, Bob, just filters in, segues into my last point. You know, we talked about Rushman and a couple guys on the team, Mountcastle being another one that jumps out at me. Thank the baseball gods that we're finding out about these guys before we have a chance to even extend them. Can you imagine the quagmire we would be in if we paid these guys and then this happened? I don't know what's wrong with Mountcastle. I really don't. He just doesn't have a clue up there.
He's been mired. He's like year plus struggle city here. Adley, you know, coming up on, 10 months since he was really percolating. Gunner's the real deal. I'll argue with anyone about that. Henderson's a stud.
I get it.
By all accounts, need to tighten up defensively a little bit. But, you know, he's, 23 years old. Let's give him a break. But, yeah, some of these dudes are like, And they've had success. That's the thing, Clip. It's not like Mayo where it's like he looks like he's never going to do anything or Kerstad runs him a fastball every now and again. These guys.
Right.
Ryan Mountcastle has the rookie record for homers. You have 33 home runs as a rookie.
I get it, Bob.
But now it's like, what?
But finally, Bob, you can't just keep with the same staff. You know, I'm not a proponent of firing people. I don't tell people how to spend their money and who to fire and who to keep. But, you know, it's the same lackluster stuff that's going out there. And somebody's got to be the scapegoat, Vinny. You know that. As far as football goes, you keep losing with excuses. It doesn't matter. You're going to get fired.
Yep.
And I don't hate Brandon Hyde. But, you know, the Orioles have to start somewhere again. And it might be with them and getting rid of the hitting coaches and all that.
Yeah, who are 3 months on the jobs. Thank you, Cliff. But, Biddy, you know this, too. Just because you fire a coach or a manager doesn't mean changes anything.
Nope. You get a little bump, you know, maybe.
For like a half a second.
Yeah.
Like, what was it, 2 years ago when the Colts fired, I can't even remember who the, Frank Reich. Mm-hmm. And they brought in Jeff Saturday. I think they won their first game and didn't win again for the rest of the season. Now Jeff Saturday's comfortably back in his chair at ESPN.
Well, that was immediately mocked as soon as it happened.
Sure.
Even if the people that were saying Frank Reich should be fired, I don't think anyone was saying, hey, hire Jeff Saturday. That came out of nowhere. I mean, at least hire someone that's a coach.
Now Reich's in Stanford.
Yeah, he's the GM.
He's the interim coach.
Yeah,
Andrew Luck's the GM. Who they were together in Indy, of course. But for those new to the show, Nolan's all about giving old Hyder the heave ho here.
Right. Yeah. No. Absolutely.
You just think he's incapable of?
I think
being a good manager.
Well,
I never was a good manager.
I gave him credit for what he did in 2023. He is a big part of their winning a couple of years ago. But as we've said time and time again, the team is trending in the wrong direction consistently from that point. No playoff stuff to hang your hat on either. And that carries way more weight than the regular season. So his track record, his resume, we can all see it. We all know what it is. And I know that the players have come out, at least publicly, through the article in the Baltimore Sun, said, hey, we've got Brandon Hyde's back. And that's great. But is he truly the guy that's right to lead this team to a World Series? You could have a manager that comes in here. Players might not like his style or his attitude, but he might be able to get better results out of the team. Right now, Brandon Hyde is not getting results out of this team, and that's just a flat-out fact.
And what Tony Pentes say, over 120 games now, counting the playoffs, 450 baseball?
Right.
Not good. And 0-5 in the playoffs, four of those losses at home.
And I continue to use the term, you know, rattle cages, shakes things up, because if you don't make any changes, like I said yesterday, well, we're going to keep seeing what we've been seeing here for the past month. Nothing's going to change. I mean, if you don't fire somebody, you don't DFA players, if you just keep running the same lineup out there, the same coaches, the same manager, it's the same results every day. And if you fired Brandon Hyde today, hypothetically, right, after, you know, two embarrassing losses again, you've lost four in a row, what does that say to the team? To the players that had his back? We just got this guy fired. We stink so bad, this is now beyond us. This is not a personal issue. We're so bad that I cost someone that I respect his job. Is that not a kick in the rear end? Is that not a wake-up call? That's what I'm asking for.
Well, maybe Luis F. Castillo can change things.
Well, what, Nolan, what if it's that they can't stand Elias? You know, because he got rid of teammates and he didn't do anything to help them, you know. So maybe
I think that's appropriate anger as well.
It's Vinny at Haiti 105. Maybe it's Mr. Splash's fault, I'm just saying. He was, by the way, getting underworked this year. We'll come back. NFL, or news from the Nest, rather. Going to hear from Malachi Starks as we ship back to the Ravens. Buy or sell, 12:15. Where's the dough? A.J. Gersh will talk Ravens and Orioles with him. Local kid, Fox 45.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.